because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
First, let's talk about the appetizers before we let you know where you can feast on them. When was the last time you had not just any stuffed mushroom, but stuffed jumbo mushrooms with Alaskan blue crab meat? How about pan-seared Greek Saganaki fried cheese or thinly sliced beef tenderloin carpaccio with olive oil and a white truffle on top? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin. You know the place, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
This Saturday.
Leaves it there for Hilton. Can he tee it up? He does. And a goal! Lewis Hilton, top of the 18. 1-0 St. Louis in the 79th.
St. Louis FC kicks off their fifth season, and you can hear the broadcast on KFNS. Tune in as Jim Huer, Bill McDermott, and Dale Shilley bring you all the action.
Here's a shot. Right at the keeper, Gomez. He makes the save. Gordon with the blast.
Tomas Gomez, unbelievably alert.
It starts at noon this Saturday on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
TMA Live is back and bigger than ever. Coming up on March 7th, TMA Live will be at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. This is a TMA Live that you will not want to miss. Giveaways include custom Doug Vaughn t-shirts and dinner with Doug for one lucky lemming and three friends. Plus, Hot Shots TMA themed menu with great food and drink specials. It's a night of participation, a night of fellowship. It's TMA Live. It's all happening on March 7th, the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. Don't miss it.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I remember the buzz sound.
Crossed over.
Now see,
I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
By doing that.
Yeah,
you kind of ruined the competition.
Reminded us.
How about that?
Because now it's just a matter of when the music ends.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna participate. I'm just gonna sit back and see who jumps in first. Because you just gave everybody an equal opportunity. They didn't even have to remember today because you just reminded them. So let's just let the music end. We'll get this over with.
I would like to thank Randy Wilkinson for helping me with that. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for ruining the competition. Because it's supposed to be about who forgets and who remembers. Okay, the music has ended. Go ahead.
So yeah, this weekend.
Was it this weekend or was it yesterday, which was Monday?
You interrupted me.
Well, that's okay. We didn't say nobody can interrupt anybody. You took too long to get to it.
I think there should be an interruption rule.
Should be an interruption rule.
Absolutely.
All right. Here's what we can do. As of today, starting tomorrow, well, let's have a conference. If we all agree, there will be a no interruption rule. Let's talk about it. Okay. Okay. Done.
Okay.
As of tomorrow. If someone interrupts someone who's talking with the "muh" thing, disqualified for a week. Can't win for a week. You're out for 4 working days.
And this is what I was going to say is tomorrow, or this weekend coming up, the clocks change.
Oh, man.
Thank goodness.
They jump ahead.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
Spring forward, so next "muh" day will be in. Yeah.
Well, and had we already had that rule in place, you could have done that, and wouldn't have been able to interrupt you. But maybe tomorrow. I am looking forward to that extra hour of daylight. It's a great day every year when we get that. Actually, you get home. It's like 6:30 or something, or 7, and you think it's 10 o'clock at night. What time mm-hmm. is it? Oh, 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Your body feels like it's time to go to bed.
Now, we're on standard time right now, correct?
Right. Then we switched to a daylight savings time.
So if they decided not to change the clocks anymore, mm-hmm. would we stay on standard time the entire year? Or would it be daylight savings time?
That's a good question. I think they could do whatever they wanted. I mean, I think somebody could say, well, the whole country will be on daylight savings time. But I don't know who makes that call.
There's places in this country that don't. I know Indiana is part of Indiana is a state that doesn't spring forward or fall back.
Yeah.
Arizona stopped it, I think.
That's got to be
I think
weird.
They stopped it.
And there's a couple of states like they were trying to stop it here, but you have to have, didn't they say, a state adjacent to us like Arkansas or Illinois or something like that, they want them to stay the same as well.
But how would you do it state by state? Because now you have two different times. You have one state in one time zone and another in another, because you'd have to do it for the whole time zone, wouldn't you? You can't have an excluded state. It's confusing.
Well, up in
I just think somebody ought to pass a law. The whole country is on daylight savings time all year. Done.
Arizona, a part of Indiana, and Hawaii are the only states that don't have daylight savings time.
We went to Santa Claus, Indiana, to Holiday World one year, and stayed at a hotel. It was in Eastern time, and the Santa Claus, Indiana, was Central time. And the timeline to drive to the hotel was like 20 minutes. So in the middle of that, we crossed the timeline.
Yeah. It screws you up because you leave your hotel, okay, and it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. And but a 20-minute drive. So when you get there, it's not 3:20; it's 4:20.
Yeah.
I mean, and you go back. You got to flip it back the other way. Yeah. You feel like you're stoned or something.
Well, and then you go back to the hotel and it says the pool's open till 10 o'clock. Well, then you get back to the hotel and the pool's closed. It's like, no, it's not even 10 o'clock yet. Oh, yeah, it is. It is here.
And in Canada, which they also have daylight savings time, they have a province that's so far east, Newfoundland, which you can only get to by ferry or by airplane, that it's so far away that they actually cut the time zone in half, and they're an hour and a half ahead of the easternmost time zone.
An hour and a half?
Yeah.
They cut it in half.
That's insane.
I'm telling you.
That's ridiculous. How about this? There are people who work in one time zone and live in another.
Yeah.
And like Dan said, it could be a 15, 20-minute drive. You leave work. Okay, kids. Going to work, and it's 8 o'clock. All right? You get to work, you drive 15 minutes, it's 9:15, and the boss says, you're late. You were supposed to be here at 8:30, because you're all screwed up. And then you leave work, and your wife says, I'll have dinner ready at 6:30. You get there at 5:30, because it worked. It was 6:30, and you forgot. I mean, you'd go nuts if you had to do that. And the same thing with area codes. You know, I mean, there are a lot of places where you have to dial, even a local call, you have to dial the area code. I'm talking about landlines and even cell phones. You have to dial the area code. Well, there are people who, you know, across the street is a different area code.
Yeah.
Different zip codes. That happens, too. So we'll probably be able to take a couple of calls this first hour after we find out if anybody has anything to say.
I do.
All right. Dan Strauss, everybody. It's all yours.
I just wanted to say that...
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I am all set to celebrate Cinco de Marcho.
Here's why that was stupid. Okay. Because Cinco de Mayo... The month of May in Spanish is Mayo.
Yeah.
March is Marzo. Enero, Febrero, Marzo, Abril. Okay. Mayo, Junio, Julio, Agosto, Septiembre, Octubre, Noviembre, Diciembre. It's Marzo, not Cinco de Marcho.
Okay.
So it would be Cinco de Marzo.
I just think Marcho. That's fine.
Yeah, but that's wrong. If you're going to do it in Spanish, it's Cinco de Marzo.
Say it right there.
Rough.
Cinco de Marzo.
There you go. Wow. Cinco de Marcho. Sorry, didn't mean to say
that.
Right. We're also 10 days away from the Ides of March. Remember that now?
That's
March 15th. Yeah. That's when Brutus stabbed Julius Caesar in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It was on March 15th, the Ides of March.
Oh, yeah.
And the soothsayer warned him and said, beware the Ides of March. Because he was like a prognosticator, like a psychic. This is true, if you believe, you know, what they write in history. And he said to Caesar, beware the Ides of March. And sure enough, on the Ides of March, he got stabbed and turned around and went, et tu, Brute?
Mm-hmm.
And then Brutus went on to
starred with Popeye in the cartoon series, yeah. He did a little jail time for stabbing Caesar, and then he went on to the Popeye cartoon.
Yeah.
God. Anything else?
No, that was it.
Anybody else?
I do.
All right. Tim Woodburn, everybody. Author, newsman, clock resetter. It's all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'd like to discuss with you fine gentlemen today the issue of open fly etiquette.
Okay.
Because this is what happened to me 2 hours ago.
Okay.
I'm wearing a suit and tie today because I had to go to the funeral of...
Looking very dapper.
Thank you. I had to go to the funeral of a relative. She made it to 94. And I walked in with a gentleman I knew. I didn't know everybody at this funeral. It was a Jewish funeral. It was at a temple. And so I walked in and I'm standing there and I'm talking to my male friend, and there's a female that I don't know, and the three of us are having an introductory conversation, and I felt the draft.
Oh, boy.
The draft.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could, at that time, you'd had your fly open how long?
A solid 3 minutes.
6 hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole drive there from home, and then, you know, the whole time, you know, I was standing there.
So it was open, and you didn't know it when you walked in the place.
Right. And okay. But I have a suit and tie on. My shirt's tucked in. I have black pants on. TMI, black boxer briefs. So it's not like, you know, very obvious. But I saw this gal kind of look down at me. She kind of glanced down at me.
And laugh? Look down and laugh?
She didn't laugh. She didn't laugh. She stayed stoic. And then she kind of glanced down again and then made eye contact with my... And I didn't really realize... Because I don't have the kind of physique where women check me out, if you know what I mean, you know. So it's like kind of weird that she would be looking there. And
I know exactly what you mean because I have the same problem.
And so it was then I realized... I kind of did a little shuffle step to the right, and I realized it's open. And I mean, it ain't just a little open; it's all the way
all
down,
all the way down.
All
oh,
the way
man.
Down. So I basically, within the next 5 seconds, pontificated and determined that I had four options.
Pontificated.
I did.
Wow!
I did.
Somebody
nice
say,
word.
"Hey, your barn door is open."
Mm-hmm. What the hell are you playing though? Wouldn't it be great if that sound would come out of your fly? Wouldn't that be great?
You know
right away. Yeah. They ought to make, you know, with everything they can do with little chips and you know, they make all these toys where it's a digital audio voice. They ought to make a zipper that if it's down at all and it's buttoned at the top, you hear animal noises just like that. That would be a great invention.
Frank, you just explained the next million-dollar app that somebody is creating right now. You just gave it away.
But how would an app know that your zipper's down?
Because that's people who are smarter than you and I combined would have to figure that out, but I bet
they'll build a little transmitter into the zipper.
Exactly. There's going to be a Bluetooth sensor in the zipper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Right. It'll sense airflow going between your legs as your phone.
It'll go off every time you
phone. Here were your options. Here were your options today.
Here are my four options. One was do nothing. Okay? Two was turn and immediately and rudely leave, because we're all having a thoroughly introductory conversation. Oh, what do you do? I'm a private investigator. Oh, I'm an attorney. What do you know? Oh, how did you know the deceased? Blah, blah, blah. So we're like, and right in the middle of this. And so as soon as I recognize it, I can either A, do nothing. I can B, storm off to the bathroom and rudely depart the conversation. C, I can just do the 180. Okay. Give her the
turn your back.
Give her the Tim back. Kind of do the half. Yeah. the half double knee bend and then, you know, get down and zip it up and turn back around. Or D, I can, like, try and discreetly still face the woman. Now, if it had been two guys, this is a different story, but it was a guy and a girl. If it had been D, I could have just kind of discreetly put my hand down there and tried to, like, do it without, you know, anybody noticing. Yeah.
Or you could have took your wiener out and...
Hey, you like what you see? So, hey.
No, here were your two options. You could have looked at her. You looked down. Once you knew what the situation was, you said, "Listen, babe, you got two options. you can reach in there and get some of this, or you can zip it up for me. Which do you want, A or B?"
Well, I did. I went with. I didn't even think of that. Frank, I wish you'd have been there. I would have sent you a text. Hey, Frank.
What should I do?
You know what you could have done? You could have said, "This is really, really awkward, and I don't want a lot of people to know this, but my arms are paralyzed, and I can't. Would you zip this up for me? This is so embarrassing. I have temporary paralysis from some medication I'm taking. I can't. My arms don't work. Would you just take care of that for me?" And then when she reached down, you could lunge forward.
Well, I did the 180. Double knee bend, zip up and turn back around, and nobody said a word.
I
thought it was the lesser of four evils.
Yeah. That's what I was.
There's
done.
A really good line in here that we got to be very careful with, because when Limey played those barn sounds, it did imply that inside that opening was a cow. And a cock, and a horse, and you could do something with that pretty easily, but you got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
No, but if I was given the option of those four animals being there, I'm going to go horse.
Sure you would.
The black stallion.
Man, I'm so lucky. I haven't had to go to a funeral for a long time. I've gone to very few funerals in my life. I don't like funerals. I don't like to go to them. I know that's offensive to some people if you don't go. I'll go do that visitation thing. Sorry. And people line up and one by one. That none of that's going to happen when I go. I don't like it, but everybody has a right to do whatever they think makes them feel good. I just don't like it. And when I go, the few times I've gone, I usually don't walk over to the casket. I don't want to see that body in there, because that's not the person, and there's just something about it that I don't like. You know, when my mother died, everybody, my brother, my dad, they all went over and stood over her. I never went over and looked at her. I don't want to see that. It's weird. Weddings and funerals. I don't know.
This was one.
But you know, there are people that think that, well, if you don't have a wedding, you just as a piece, you got married. That's not a real wedding. It's like they think you have to go through all that stuff. I do because my daughter wants it, so we're going to do it. But there's no law that says you have to have a funeral.
Every religion does it different, too. I don't know how many different religious funerals you've been to. I was raised Catholic. I've been to plenty of Catholic ones where the visitation's there with the casket open, and then you do the hearse, and you follow it to the cemetery, and you drop it down in the hole and the whole bit. I went to one with my father last fall, military, where he was burned, he was cremated, and, you know, just the urn is right there, and we just kind of sing a little song and say a little prayer, and then that's it. This one was a Jewish one.
They said Shiva.
They said Shiva for a couple days, exactly, and this was my dad's second wife's mother who passed away. And so another member of that family died a couple of years ago, which was the first Jewish funeral I'd ever attended. And they do something unique that no other religion that I know of does, and that's when they take it, they don't show the face. I don't know if it's their custom or not. Maybe it's, you know, the deceased relative's choice to show the face in the casket. I don't really know that answer. What I do know is when they go to the funeral and to the cemetery, they drop that casket down, and everybody that's standing, that's there in the field in the chair, gets up and takes a shovel and goes and throws a thing of dirt on it.
Really?
Like everybody, like, it's like your last symbolic goodbye, if you will.
Ever been to a funeral where people walk up to the casket and cut off a little piece of their hair?
No.
What?
What?
No. One time. No. No
way.
One time, long time ago, it was some relative of my wife's over in Illinois. They're Catholic. And the casket was open, and I started noticing there were a pair of scissors, and several people went up and just snipped off a little piece of hair and put it in. I thought, what in the world? That's the only time I've
wow.
seen that. And I asked my wife about it because she was Catholic. She was Catholic back then. I said, well, she didn't even know what it was about. She said, I don't know.
What if someone walked up with one of those clippers?
Just gave him a buzz cut.
Shave the corpse?
Yeah.
Shave the hair off the corpse?
Some areas of town, the body's laid out, and by the time the visitation's over, all the jewelry's gone from the body. It's like, what happened there? What happened to her earrings? What happened to his watch?
There are people that want to almost crawl in there with them. They hug them. They bend down and kiss them. I mean, they're emotionally, they're a wreck.
Yeah.
And they kind of lose their minds. You know, when somebody loses somebody, you're kind of not in your right mind for a while because the grief is so tremendous. And I don't know. Everybody's entitled to do whatever they want to do. I made it very clear to my family, we're not doing that. Throw me in that oven, get that urn, a box, or whatever you want to put it in. You want to throw a little party, throw a little party. You know who not to invite. You know who I can't stand. And the other people, they're welcome to come and tell a couple of jokes, and that'll be the end of it. So, anything else?
That's it for me.
Nope. I've got nothing.
Oh, Pat has an issue with something that you said earlier.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'd like to talk to Pat about that. Pat, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Hi, Frank. I listen to your show every day. I really enjoy it. And I will say, you are right 99.9% of the time. However.
Okay.
And there's always
a however in life.
You cannot, I'm a retired mailman, you cannot separate a street by zip codes. As an example, Clayton Road is the buffer between Richmond Heights and Clayton. Both sides of the street have a Richmond Heights zip code. It can't be Richmond Heights on one side of the street, 17, and 05, which is Clayton, on the other side of the street. It's got to be both sides of the street.
Ah, well, that's good to know.
Okay. I
appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that information.
Keep up the good work. I love your show.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Huh. Well, he would know. He would know, you know.
Work
for the post office. Anything, anybody else? Burke segment? No?
Well, now I've got something.
Oh.
Pat, he was a mailman, right? There was a kids' TV show I used to watch in England, Postman Pat. And, yeah, it was a real big fan of that
TV show.
Thank you.
Was it like a Mr. Rogers type of show? Or?
No, he was this little claymation mailman that just kind of went around and, like, you know, helped out the little town. He had a little black and white cat.
Like Mr. Bill?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we can close the Burke segment?
We sure can.
Now, I'm going to... you remember that Jesse... By the way, Mike Evans keeps calling him Jesse Smollett.
I know.
It's not Jesse, it's Jussie. So remember like the day after he announced and they had the news story, that, oh my goodness, you know, he was attacked. And I said, I saw his picture, a little scratch on his cheek. I said, he said, vicious, brutal attack. I said, something doesn't add up here. I'm going to tell you something else that's a pretty big story, and it's a local story. There's something wrong, and there's something missing here, and I think you're going to find out that I'm on to something here. This Russian roulette story, these cops that were supposed to have been playing Russian, I don't buy that. I think what we're going to find out is there was no Russian roulette game. Think about it. Just think about this. You got three police officers, and they decide they're going to play Russian roulette. Well, first of all, there's no way. I know one of them left, but even with the two remaining, there's no way that two people would both be stupid enough to play something like that Russian roulette. I don't buy that story. I think somebody got shot and killed, and the best they could come up with was this Russian roulette thing. That's just my personal opinion.
But the version of what they were saying they were playing isn't really Russian roulette. Russian roulette is when you have one bullet in there and you spin it and then you hold it to your own head.
Right.
See, Christine Byers.
That's the other thing that doesn't make any sense is that version of it, but I don't think there was any Russian roulette game at all.
Mm. Christine Byers is the investigative reporter for the Post-Dispatch covering this story, and I read an article that she wrote about 3 weeks ago, and I actually called her, and she actually took my phone call, and I said, first of all, I think your story is inaccurate because you say that he's been placed under house arrest at his apartment in the city, and I know that's not true because they released him to EMAS in Boone County, which is where his family's from. So I'm like, first of all, there's no way this cop's going to be under house arrest in his apartment where vindictive people can go after him or whatever. They're going to put him in hiding. And she corrected the story in the paper and thanked me for calling her and telling her that. But the other thing is, and I told her, I said, the big part of the story that I don't understand, I think your reporting on this has been excellent. I said, but the part of the story that I don't understand that you haven't reported on is, and we didn't know this at the time, we do know it now, whether or not she had just gotten off duty or what kind of clothes was she wearing. Did she just get off duty and was wearing a bulletproof vest? And he, obviously on duty, was he wearing a bulletproof vest? Is that required attire? And her response to me was, well, we just thought that was common knowledge that, you know, the people, readers would know that police officers would have a bulletproof vest on duty. I'm like, well, I'm college educated and 50. I don't know it. You know, so now I do know. The thing is, if they were playing this game of Russian roulette and we now found out that she had not had a police shift for 2 days prior to this incident, they're going to play a game of Russian roulette with one guy wearing a bulletproof vest and the other one not?
Right. See, that's why nothing about that Russian roulette thing makes sense to me. I can't believe that nobody else, I haven't read anybody, an article or anything where somebody said, no, I don't have a vest, you do. Okay, go ahead, spin the cylinder and point it at me and pull it. No.
And then no way. I had heard something else that came out, and I don't know if this is true or not, that she was having an affair and was close to leaving her husband or this
guy. Well, the guy that shot her told his supervisor that they were in love and were going to move in together.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot more to this than some ridiculous game that no two people would play.
The only thing that makes sense, Frank, is the fact that both of these on-duty officers were reprimanded by their supervisors that night for drinking on the job. And they all three admit... So the only thing that makes any sense on a stupid game of point the gun to the chest, Russian roulette, people do stupid things when they're intoxicated. Okay, how intoxicated were they all? That's the only thing that would make sense.
Well, that's my question. I don't know that you can be intoxicated enough. I mean, really, to tell somebody, go ahead, pull the trigger and point it at my chest. Come on. I mean, you'd have to be just beyond intoxicated. You'd be out of your mind. I mean, even a drunk would go, oh, no, man. What that thing at me?
Some people
make sense.
I've seen a lot of intoxicated people do a lot of stupid things, and people get real macho when they get real drunk.
Hey, go ahead, pull that trigger.
No, okay, I could see where one of them maybe could be that intoxicated or wanting to show off, but not two people to consent to participate in something that stupid. We'll see. I guess in time it'll come out. I guess you guys still haven't watched any of the Michael Jackson Leaving Neverland. I watched the second part last night, and then I watched the follow-up where Oprah sat with the director of the documentary and with these two guys. And I know there are lots of people now. Oprah's getting a ton of hate feedback. How dare you? Michael Jackson was a great... But the people who were doing that, they said many of them didn't even watch it. They don't want to watch it. They don't want to hear it. How dare you perpetuate these lies? Well, if you're not going to watch all of what these guys said, I don't think you have any right to say anything. I think once you watch this, I don't see how... Well, I do. I see how somebody could say, well, it's just not true. Because, one, they've always loved Michael Jackson. They grew up thinking, oh, my goodness, this guy's a god. He's the king of pop. And you don't want to... You don't even want to think that he could have done this. But if you watch this, I don't know how anybody could not, after watching it, at least go, boy... this is weird, and maybe they are telling the truth. Of course, the big question is why now, and why didn't they do this? The one guy in particular, when he was called in to be the first witness at Michael Jackson's trial, and under oath, he said he never touched me. If you watch this, you'll understand how that can happen. Because pedophiles, in addition to seeming to care and want to be loving and gentle and give you things. In addition, they're also very threatening. And they'll tell you, if you ever tell anybody what we did, here's what's going to happen. And in Michael Jackson's case, he told these boys, if you do, we will both go to jail for the rest of our lives. Now, you're young and you're in court. I don't care if you're 19 or 20. And you idolize Michael Jackson. And you do not want to betray him. You don't want to throw him under the bus. And you don't want to go to jail. Because in your mind, he's convinced you, no matter what they tell you, if you admit that you participated in this, you're going to jail. So I understand why he lied under oath. But boy, there are people. The feedback is unbelievable to this. They're very strong opinions at very opposite ends of the spectrum. The people who go, thank you so much for bringing this to light, this ridiculous, horrible monster. And the other people, how dare you? And of course, the Jackson estate is suing HBO for $100 million. Well, good luck with that.
Wow.
Good luck with that lawsuit. They're not going to win. It'll probably just be thrown out. You get $100 million because a guy decided to sit down with two people who had a very compelling story to tell. Because you, as the Jackson estate, whoever that is, family, you can't prove that they're lying and they made it up. You can't prove that. Just like they can't prove that it happened because he's dead. And, wow, it was great. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. I hope you get a chance to watch it, because I'm sure it'll, you know, you can stream it any time now and watch it. For much as I've about had enough of Oprah, to her credit, she was willing to basically say, this all sounds very real. And without saying it, she made it clear that she believes these guys, which is interesting, because I think she was a big fan of Michael Jackson, too. And now, not so much. So, if you get a chance, watch it.
Can you watch it online if you don't have an HBO subscription?
I think you can. I think you can subscribe to, what is it, HBO Go or HBO Now or something like that. I think you can. I believe you can. But it's, I don't know. It's something that, and one day I'll tell you some stuff that I'm not ready to tell you now. But in my family, let's just say, I have told you before, we had a pedophile in the family, and I know how he operated. So all of that stuff made perfect sense to me, all of it, even the lying about it, and then finally. And here's the other thing. The mother, especially of one of these boys, is riddled with guilt because she allowed her son. And when you hear her and you watch her, it took a lot of guts for her to go on and be in this documentary and admit that she turned her son over at 7 and 8 and 9, just turned him over to Michael, because Michael Jackson befriended the mom. He was wonderful to her. He bought them a home.
Wow.
He went to their little house before he bought them home and stayed with them overnight, like a kid's sleepover. And you hear him say things like, we had to pinch ourselves. We couldn't believe it. Michael Jackson, and they've got pictures of him in their house. Michael Jackson's coming over to play with my son, like a little kid. That is not normal. And then at one point, they lived in Australia. When they get ready to go back to Australia after spending all this time at Neverland, and of course, Mom was in a separate bedroom from Michael and the son. And when they get ready to head back to Australia, Michael Jackson, according to the mom, says, would you consider leaving him here for a year? You go on back, let him live with me for a year. And she said, absolutely not.
Oh, good.
Because she started to become a little suspicious. And she said there was one night she went up and put her ear up to the door. Michael had like triple, quadruple locks and stuff in his bedroom. And of course, the boy says they'd had drills and trained on how to get dressed real fast. And she said she knocked and nobody would come to the door. And then finally, Michael opens the door and there he is with her son. And they have their clothes on and everything seems to be okay. There's just too much here, especially when you hear the mom. And this family is messed up because the kids kind of blame the mom for being so naive and so stupid and allowing this to happen. Yet the mom, in her own defense, says, he won me over. He convinced me that he was just somebody who wanted to help my son out. And the kid was a dancer, and Michael said, I have connections, and I can help his career skyrocket. And when you watch it all, you realize how it could happen. You realize how she feels so guilty and stupid now. But you also realize how, at the time, she didn't know what was going on. And I think, if nothing else, whether you think Michael Jackson was a pedophile or not, people need to watch this so they can get a sense, if you have kids of your own, for what to watch out for. Because there's a great, it's very educational about how people manipulate kids and parents of kids. And it doesn't just happen with the pop star. It happens with scoutmasters and preachers and priests and doctors. You know, when I was a kid, I never knew it, but our family doctor was a pedophile. Now, to me, he was just kind of a sissy. And years later, after we moved out of Tennessee, I found out that he had his medical license revoked. He lost his ability to practice. He was reduced to being an orderly at a hospital after he got out of prison for child molestation. And then he died a miserable death, penniless. He was our family doctor. And after I found out that he was a pedophile, some things started to make sense to me. He made house calls. But when he'd come to the house, he would take me into a bedroom. And when I went to his office, he would take me in a little examining room without my parents. And it seemed like no matter what I was in there for, he had to check my genitals. Now, I'm a kid. I think it's just a doctor exam. It's ridiculous. He didn't have to, and he was telling me he's just checking to make sure I'm growing properly and that I'm developing. I didn't think a thing about it. And then years later, when I find out he goes to jail for pedophilia, I thought, wow, you know what? That all makes sense now. That's why he automatically said, you know, get your clothes off and see what's going on here. And of course, in the South, I don't know about anywhere else, in the South, there are two people you don't question, the doctor and the preacher. They're godlike. So the doctor said you need to do this. The doctor said don't do that. And the minister. You know, remember, there's several movies where there are scenes, and I can't think of one in particular, but let's say it's a Catholic family, and Father so-and-so is coming over for dinner. Oh, this is a big deal. The pastor is coming to our home for dinner, or the priest or whatever, and everything has to be perfect because they revere these people. And the older that I get, the more I can think back and go, wow, I should have noticed all this stuff, but I really shouldn't have noticed it. I have a guy right now who sang at my wedding. He was, and he and his wife were friends of ours for years. He was a little out there. He was a little bit loud and overly extroverted, but he was a minister of music in the church, very active in the church. He's in prison. He's a child molester. And now I think back, he had two kids. I don't ever remember him ever doing anything with his own kids. He never said, I went to Jimmy's ball game or went to Cindy to visit her school. Nothing, ever. No interaction with his own kids. Now I know he was interested in other kids. Never had a clue. They're all around you. So just, you know, be careful. All right, and that's it. We closed the Burke segment? I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
Yeah, we closed the Burke segment. I would encourage all of you who think that, if you think, oh, man, I wanted to go on that European Rhine River cruise, but now it's sold out. I'm telling you, I know what's going to happen here. We leave June 26th. The people who leave early for Amsterdam for a couple extra days leave June 23rd. That is 3 months away, a little over 3 months. Somebody will drop out. Every year, we've done, this will be the 20th trip, and every year, at the 11th hour, somebody gets sick, somebody breaks an arm or whatever, and they have to cancel. So if you're interested in going with us on this cruise, I would call Julie. The information is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AM and the PM, and I would just say, hey, please put me on a wait list. And if somebody drops out, boom, you're ready to go. That would be my advice. Because the other thing that happens every year, we always have people, when we start getting close to time to go, somebody wants to go on the trip, and then they're told, well, it's sold out. And sometimes they get mad. Well, I didn't hear it was sold out. I'm telling you it's sold out. But I'm also telling you, it'll be the first time ever if somebody doesn't drop out because of some family emergency, death in the family, gets a bad flu or something. It happens. So get on the wait list. I think you'll be really glad you did. I also want to, just outside of Tim's introduction in the Playhouse, make sure you understand how grateful we are to Matheny Heating and Cooling. I've known Tom Matheny for, I don't know, 16 years or something. It's a tremendous family business. And I don't care if it's hot or cold or nice weather where you don't need either the heat or the air conditioning. It's a pretty good idea a couple of times a year to get the system checked out. If you want to support the show and you're glad to see Matheny back and glad to see Tim back, we're only asking one thing. Call Matheny Heating and Cooling, 314-727-9000, MatheneyHeatCool.com, and that will be the best way you could possibly thank them for what they've done to the show. Joey is on the phone. By the way, if anybody, we got a couple minutes. If anybody has anything they want to throw in here, you're welcome to call 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Joey, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
AM and PM, sir.
Thank you.
Do we really want to see Tim's back? You just said, I mean, who wants to see Tim's back? I don't know.
I had a coat on.
Hey, Frank, here's why I'm calling. So I got a whole different perspective on the joke thing yesterday that you apologized for telling wrong.
Well, I didn't actually apologize, but the guy has a really good point. Well, go ahead. What's your take?
I didn't see a problem with the original way you said it, and here's why. The kid says, hey, anybody got any Vaseline? The old man, the dad's thinking, oh, hell, the kid's going to grab Vaseline because he wants to do me, and I better wash the dishes, otherwise he's going to want to do it with me.
Okay, but here's what's wrong. But here's what's wrong with that. Once the kid spoke and said, hey, have you folks got any Vaseline? It's over. It's over. The kid's not going to take dad and do him because you're only doing that to make people talk. It's over. The kid talks. It's done.
The dad knows that. But the dad's thinking, wait a minute, why is this kid grabbing Vaseline? Heck, I better go ahead and volunteer to do the dishes before he tries to whoop me up the booty.
Well, and I agree with you. That's why for 25 years I've told it that way. But
I like it
this,
the original way.
Now, I can tell you something. No. I think Ron, the listener, Ron, has a great point. If you want to really make the joke accurate and make sense, the first person that speaks does the dishes, and when that kid said, have you folks got any Vaseline, boom, he's doing the dishes, game over.
Okay.
I'm going to go next year. When I tell next year, I'm going to go with he pulls a Vaseline out of his pocket, a tube of Vaseline, and as soon as the old man sees it, he goes, okay, that's it, I'll do the dishes.
But for the dirty mind people like me, the original way is better.
Okay.
Love you.
All right, thank you, Joey. Appreciate it. Robert's next. Robert, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
AM into PM.
Thank you, Robert.
A quick comment along the lines you're talking about. It basically has to do with last Thursday. You were talking about that movie, Abducted in Plain Sight. Okay, right. I'm a carpenter, and I make a lot of service calls and house calls by myself. People move in new homes or remodel jobs. You talk about people being naive or parents being naive. No, parents are stupid. You have no idea how many times I get to a house and I've been told the daughter or the son is there. Parents are at work. They'll let you in. 12, 13 years old, time after time, and they're the only ones there.
I absolutely agree with you, and I don't think you're in any way a pervert or dangerous guy, but they don't know you, and it's your first call to the house. I completely agree with you.
Well, there's been a couple times where I could tell a young 13 or 14-year-old girl, she wasn't scared, she was nervous, she stayed on the couch, didn't say a word. When I left, she locked the door. Another time, I'm there working during the day. 12, 13-year-old boy comes home in the middle of the day from school, comes in, and his eyes got about as big around as silver dollars. And he went straight upstairs, and I heard his bedroom door lock. And anymore, also, in the last couple years, a couple times I'm like, this hashtag me too. They always send me out by myself. I've told them a couple times here lately, I really don't want to go in there by myself. You never are going to say.
No, you're absolutely right, because they could make up something that you did that you didn't do.
Oh, yeah. Two or three years later, it can be, well, I was only 14 at the time.
Right. And no, I think you have a great point. I think you have a great point. Or if you're going to go insist that a parent be there.
I did before. I was told, parents said it's okay, go ahead. That's what I mean. Parents are stupid.
No, some of them are. I agree with you. We got to run. Robert, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. He's got a good point. People, let's say it's a service call. And, you know, you don't know who they're sending out here. By the way, not everybody that a company hires is a good hire. Every once in a while, that guy slips through the cracks who's sick, and he gets that job so that he can go in homes and hook up the cable or work on this or work on that. And I had one of those experiences, too, when I lived in St. Charles. The guy was a member of a pool crew putting in a pool for the people next door to us. And he tried to kill the mother and the daughter after the pool was finished. He went back to the house and tried to kill them both.
Whoa.
And the whole time they put the pool in, he told the police he was watching the mom and the daughter and watching when the dad wasn't home. Wow. And 2 weeks after the pool was finished, he came back to kill them. And it was one of the scariest nights of my life. It was midnight, and I heard the mom and the daughter screaming next door. And it's a great story. I'll tell it to you when I have more time sometime. Time to send you to buy a car where a Limey got his car. The new hasn't worn off,
has it? Oh, no, I'm still absolutely in love with that car. It's beautiful.
It's not going to wear off for quite a while. That is a good-looking car. Got himself a Chevy Malibu from Johnny Londoff. And if anybody can make that happen for you, it would be Johnny Londoff. There are a lot of people that go in there thinking, well, I'm not going to get approved. I'm not going to get financing. I really can't afford. If there's a way to get it done, they'll find it, and they'll put you in something better than that old thing you're driving now. Even if it's something pre-owned, if your car's 15 years old and they have something wonderful that's 6 or 7, that's like a new car to you, and they know that. And they're going to do their best to make it happen. This is the dealership that is the opposite of the dealerships that cause people to go, man, I can't stand that buying a car process. That's some other dealership, not Johnny Londoff. Give them a shot. Give them a chance. That's all we ask. You're shopping for a car? Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, new or pre-owned, Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Coming out of the green room, I just saw him, Dan Buffa. We're going to talk TV. We're going to talk movies. He'll be here after the news. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. California Attorney General Javier Becerra says criminal charges are not warranted in the shooting death of an unarmed black man in Sacramento last year.
Our investigation has concluded that no criminal charges against the officers involved in the shooting can be sustained.
Becerra says an independent investigation into the incident shows that officers acted properly in their confrontation with Stephon Clark. He says the investigation is now closed. President Trump will visit Eastern Alabama.